Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Why don't you just stay standing with me for a moment? When praying for this day and what God wanted to do in the service this morning, I really just sensed that He wanted to minister in this moment. And so wherever you are across the room, why don't you just open your hands, open your hearts? Yeah, sometimes we need to change the flow and go with the Holy Spirit. So inspired by Ken and his wife and them moving, following the conviction and the call of the Holy Spirit to a place that may be undesirable to some. But who knows, in the presence of God is the most desirable place to be. So why don't you just stretch your hands to the Lord and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're moving in this room today. God, you see every need and every heart. You see the hunger of people's hearts wanting to know you, wanting to experience you. Lord, you hear the prayers prayed for a miracle. You hear the hearts of your sons and daughters calling out to you. And God, I pray in this moment today, Lord, you would minister unto us. We don't come to church, Lord, just to be inspired, Lord. We come to meet with you. In the company of our brothers and sisters, Lord, I pray you'd pour out your Spirit in this place. Pour out your Spirit in this place. At the start of this new year, I feel like the Lord wants to pour out His Spirit afresh on the church. Why don't you just begin to ask Him, Lord, would you fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit? I feel like there's some people and you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've seen God move before, but it's been a while since you had a fresh infilling and a fresh touch. Holy Spirit, come, 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 Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You know, the disciples waited in the upper room for hours, for the promises of which was to come, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, church, they were hungry. They were desperate. Jesus ascended into heaven. They knew there had to be something more. Jesus said, it is greater that I go because I'm going to send you my Spirit. These people hungered in desperation for the God that they worship, not just to be filling a temple, but to fill their hearts. How hungry are you for Him this morning? Oh, karomantie, shembata romonkoyo. Holy Spirit, would you come and move? Lord, we're talking about reaching people today, but we know we can't do it without your Holy Spirit. God, we need your power. God, we need your power to be a witness. We need your power. Come again, Lord. Come again. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the top of my head. If there are people in this room and you feel like a hot oil on the top of your head, just stretch your hands really high to heaven. The Holy Spirit is touching you in this room today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask for the baptism, the immersion of the Holy Spirit, not just a moment, not just the goosebumps, God. We pray that our lives would be immersed by you. Not for our own sake, but for the sake of the world around us, for the sake of our city, Melbourne. Lord, let your light shine in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In prayer leading up to today, I really felt the Lord was wanting to do something in the youth ministry of this church. And so just while we're in this moment, you can keep your hands raised to heaven, but I want to ask Matt and the youth team to come forward. Just come and fill the altar here. I just feel like the Lord wants to release an anointing over the youth team and the ministry. And actually, any youth that come to Pneuma Youth, you come to the youth ministry at this city, why don't you just come forward? I don't care how old you are, just come forward. I just feel like the Lord's wanting to do something in the youth of this city, amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And maybe I can have, if you've got a burden for the lost, like you would consider yourself an evangelistic person, you've got a heart for the lost, I want you to come around some of these guys and even some of our prayer team. Would you come around them? Yeah, youth, come forward. Thank you. Thank you. If you can pray in the Holy Spirit, would you just begin to pray? Thanks, Lord. And Pastor Matt, I saw when I was praying for you that I saw you fighting with like an arrow in your hand. And you were wielding this arrow and taking down powers of darkness and defeating enemies that would come against you, kind of like David would fend off the lions and the bears. But I saw you with this arrow in your hand, and I felt the Lord say, because you've been faithful with the weapons of warfare I've given you, I'm giving you an upgrade. And I saw the Lord placing a bow in your hand and Him saying that I'm giving you reach into new territories. And I see you in the youth ministry taking down giants in new territories. There are new territories in this city. There are new young people in this city. There are new demographics and suburbs and regions in this city. There are new schools that God's going to give you access to in this city. And so God, we just thank you. We thank you for a fresh anointing at the start of this year, Lord. Would you use this team? Would you use these young people for your glory? God, I pray the young people of Pneuma Youth would burn for righteousness, Lord, that they would stand firm in the faces of persecution. God, that they would stand up for truth. Lord, use them as a light in the darkness. And God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that they'll need a bigger room. God, I thank you that they'll need a bigger room. God, I thank you that you are even increasing unto them youth leaders to strengthen the nets, for a great harvest is coming. There is a wave of young people that are going to be ushered into the church, not just this church, but the churches across this city. And we just prophesy over Melbourne this morning. We say Melbourne is not going to hell. We declare there is an awakening happening in this city. Lord, we thank you that the young people, the next generation, shall not be influenced by culture, but Lord, that they shall see the truth, that they shall experience kingdom culture. God, I pray for these youth that have come forward this morning and those who can't be here today. May they carry the kingdom culture of heaven into their schools, into their workplaces, into their families. Whew, Holy Spirit, use them for your glory. Use them for your glory. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're receiving prayer, you're welcome to stay there receiving. If you need to head back to your seat, you're welcome to. Bless you. God is moving in the young. Who's excited for what God's going to do in the youth of this city? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I also feel in my heart that there might be some people here today, and the sense I get is that there are some people who have really had a heart to reach lost people in their world. They've really had a heart to reach out to those they know that are broken and need Jesus, but maybe you've been feeling a little bit stuck, or you've been feeling a little bit overwhelmed, or maybe quenched by fear, or maybe even you feel like your conviction in your heart for the lost it's like a flame that's gone dim. And I just sense the Holy Spirit wanting to empower you and put a fresh fire of the Spirit of God within you today. If that's you, if you feel like you've lost a flame, and or maybe you've desired to seek the lost, but you've been struggling with fear and not knowing how to step forward, would you be so bold in this moment amongst family? And just stretch your hands to heaven so I know who I can pray for. Right there in your seats. Just lift your hands to heaven. Come on. Sometimes we feel fear in public, but man, we can be bold in this church. We're the family of God together today. If you feel like the flame's gone dim or you feel stuck in reaching some of the people in your world, just with your hands raised right now, and I want some people to get around them. Can we get some prayer team to get around them and just lay hands on them in this moment? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that you have a heart for the lost. And I pray you would give us your heart. I remember that song, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Oh, break my heart for what breaks yours. Help us to see people the way you see them. Help us to see people the way you see them. And God, I pray that not by our own strength, not by our own ability, not by our own charisma or personality, but by your Spirit, Lord, speak through us. Set us on fire that we might burn for you, that when people see us, they would see Jesus. Holy Spirit, give us your heart. Give us that conviction for the people in our world and fill us with the boldness of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, there are weak people, there are shy people who are filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And it says, and they proclaimed the word of God with boldness. Lord, give us the gift of boldness in this church. Give us the gift of boldness, God. May Pneuma Church be a church that is bold, that we would shine brightly for Jesus and not hide this light under a basket. I declare over you what Jesus says over you, that you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, I pray you'd seal what you're doing in us today. I pray you would help us to see what you see, to care and to love others like you care and love us. Lord, may we not be satisfied walking past brokenness. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you're about to do. As we open your word today, Lord, I pray, speak to us. Let your presence reveal the scriptures and lead our hearts into a greater revelation of what it means to reach those in our world. In Jesus' mighty name, Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Can you give God some praise this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can take your seats in this room today. Thank you, worship team, for just being ready. Love you guys. It was beautiful. Who thought I was beautiful worship this morning? So good. If you got your Bibles with you, why don't you open to the book of Acts? Who loves the book of Acts? Oh my gosh, it is one of my favorites. So good. So good. We've been on this series, making disciples of every generation. And today we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 3 in just a moment. But how many people know that God has a heart for the lost? Like his heart burns for the lost. What does it mean when I say the lost? I'm talking people that haven't found their Creator, people that are not found in God's love, people that are far away from God, living in sin and brokenness, apart from God's design. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. He didn't come to be served by us. He didn't come for us to bow down and to serve him. He came to serve us. He came to undo the works of the devil. He came to heal and forgive and to restore. And he came for the broken ones. He came for the hurting ones. Jesus exemplifies, he is the image of God's heart for the lost. And we see this time and time again through the scripture that humanity in their foolishness and in their arrogance turn their backs on God. And time and time again, we receive what we need from God and then we get distracted and we start pursuing our own selfish agendas. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Anyone relate? This has happened in my life. And we get distracted away from God and we find ourselves broken and hurting and we call out to God again and He is so kind and compassionate and faithful to reach out to us. God deeply cares about reaching the lost. But He doesn't just have a heart for it. Who knows? He has a plan for it. And His plan is you. His plan for reaching the lost is you. The body of Christ on the earth. Amen? See, when there starts to get responsibility, the church gets quiet. You know you're God's plan for the lost? God didn't choose to use the angels. He chose to use you. He doesn't choose to only use signs and wonders. He chose to use your life as an example, as a billboard for Christ. God is wanting to use you. And in Acts chapter 3 today, I want to open to this passage. And so if you've got your Bibles, turn there with me. And for those taking notes today, the title of this message is called Look at Us. Look at us. Turn the person beside you and say, look at us. Maybe you can hold the hand of one person beside you, look at the other and say, look at us. Just helping out the single people in the room today. Valentine's Day yesterday. So good. I saw Paul Caruana got some chocolates from somebody. Wow. He's not even here. Oh, well, I'll have to pay him out another time. I think it was from a mate. I don't know. Jess can confirm. Acts chapter 3. Here we go. You there? All right. What we see happening here, Jesus, He ascended into heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, we see the disciples waiting on the Holy Spirit, the promise to come. And they're filled with the Holy Spirit and His power. And they start to go out and live their lives. They start to go out and work. And they, while they're working and while they're doing their life, they're having these experiences where the Holy Spirit in which they received is not just within them, but flowing through them. And in Acts chapter 3, we see this happen where Peter and John are on their way to the temple for a time of prayer. And it says the ninth hour of prayer. And on their way to the temple, before they even walk through the gate, there is this gate there called the Beautiful Gate. The Beautiful Gate. And it probably was made with silver and bronze and gold and maybe some precious stones, but it was a beautiful gate outside the temple. But at the beautiful gate lays this broken man. It says a lame man who was lame from birth. He couldn't walk since the moment he was born. And every day his people would come and lay him at the gate and he was begging for money. He can't work. He can't go into the temple. He's begging for money. He's begging for some sort of gifts from people. And Peter and John, on their way to the temple, they have an encounter with this man. And we're going to pick it up in verse 3 of chapter 3. And it says this. This man who was at the gate called Beautiful asked for alms for those who were entering the temple. Verse 3. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms or some money. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Say it again. Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Says that he then went into the temple, leaping and praising God. Can you imagine people who walk past this man daily to go to the temple for their time of prayer, now seeing him running through the temple, leaping like a deer. Could you imagine what they had thought? Goes on to say that the people were so shocked by what happened that they were asking this man, what's happened to you? What has God done for you? And Peter and John were there and they stood there on the outside of the temple and they were able to give a testimony as to what had happened. That Jesus Christ, who was once crucified, is surely not dead, but he is alive. He rose from the grave and he has poured out his spirit upon us and all those who believe. And it is by his name and by his power that this man now walks and stands in front of you. And the people glorified God. Some of them challenged, some of them judged Peter and John, some of them furious as what had just happened. But it was a testimony, it was an example, it was a sign and a wonder that God is not dead, he is alive. That Jesus is not in a tomb, he is alive. And it's a sign that he's not just pouring out his spirit in a certain place, but he's not just moving in a synagogue, but he's also moving on the streets. See, under the old covenant, it was known that God's presence would dwell in the temple. That God's presence could be found in holy and sacred places. But under the new covenant, now that Christ is risen, we become the temple. Your bodies become the temple. And his spirit is filling us. So now miracles don't just happen in the secret, sacred, holy moments in the presence of God, but they can happen all across the city. And this was a sign and a wonder for people that God is on the move. And he's not limited to a box. He's not limited to a building, but he is moving in the hearts of those who believe. There was a shift that took place this day for these people. Though they may have known of the beautiful gate with bronze and silver and gold, this miracle shifted their attention off the beautiful physical appearance of the temple to the beautiful work of God in a human life. See, for many, religion was found in the beauty of the temple and in the beauty of religious things and in the lives of rabbis and teachers of the word of God. But here, God reveals his beauty in the heart of a broken man. And can I tell you, friends, if we come to church to see God's beauty, but we don't go into the brokenness of our city to see God's beauty, I think we might miss something. Because God is moving in broken spaces and making them beautiful. Man, I hear testimonies throughout our congregation of people sharing a homeless man they got to speak to and pray for and received an encounter with God. I hear testimonies of people in their workplaces who meet with broken people with real struggles and real problems, and they encounter the presence of God in a workplace or at a bar or at a work dinner, at the gym. God is not limited to a building. And if this is the only place we seek his presence, and we only spend about 2 hours here on a Sunday, then there is so many hours of our life we are missing an encounter with him. I want to share with you three things I notice about this story here in the Bible. The first one is this. This miracle happened when they were on their way. Number one, they were on their way. It wasn't at the prayer meeting that the miracle happened. It happened on the way. It wasn't in a worship service at the height of the moment when God is speaking and moving and the powerful chorus of the song is being declared and proclaimed and the angels are singing in with us. It wasn't at the prayer meeting. It wasn't in the church. It was on the way. On the way. I feel like God wants to encourage somebody today that there are miracles waiting for you on your way. In the everyday moments of life, God wants to meet you on your way. It's not just in the room, it's not just in the temple, it's on the way. Beautiful and miraculous things don't just happen inside of a church, they happen outside of the church. And I think if we start believing for more miracles to be seen on the streets of our city than just in this building, we would see God do an amazing thing in Melbourne. First thing is, they were on their way.
The second thing I noticed about this story is they were interruptible. They were interruptible. They were easily interrupted. Yes, they were on their mission to get to the hour of prayer on time, to spend that time in the temple. They didn't want to be late for the start of worship. They didn't want to be late for the thing that they had to do. They were on their way, but they were also easily interruptible. Ready for the Holy Spirit to interject. Ready for the Holy Spirit to course correct, to shift their agenda. I don't know if it was the fact that they cared enough to stop for the person in need, or if it was an awareness or listening to the Holy Spirit, but either way, they surrendered their own desires and schedule to God's will. And they surrendered their own comfort and fear of getting it wrong, and they allowed themselves to be interrupted. You know, one of our kingdom culture values at Pneuma is His presence is our priority. And if His presence is our priority, we need to ask ourselves, are we listening to the Holy Spirit and what He has to say in the everyday moments of life? Not just in church on a Sunday. Not just at the moment before you go to bed when you pray. Not just in the morning when you're doing your scripture reading or your devotional for the day. Those are key moments to listen to the Holy Spirit, absolutely. But if His presence is to be our priority, we need to be listening for Him in the mundane moments of life. See, sometimes we box God in and we think, you know, He likes to move in these moments. He likes to move in these spaces. But God wants to move everywhere, like all the time. I know sometimes I'm driving my car and I'm thinking, well, this is Hoddle Street traffic. Like, surely God wouldn't want to move here. And so, you know, I might put a podcast on or something like that. But I need to be careful because I actually think God wants to speak to me even in moments like that. He's pouring out His Spirit. He's moving through the streets. He's moving in everyday moments of our life. But the key is, are we listening? Are we aware? Are we tuning in to His presence? I've chosen to make a decision now when I'm driving that I wouldn't put the radio on or I wouldn't put on music. I mean, who listens to the radio these days? Some people do. But some people are like, oh, I love the radio. But I've chosen to turn the music off, to turn the podcast off. I just put some instrumental music on because I don't want to miss a moment that He might want to speak to me. Have you ever tried tuning a radio before and you're trying to find the channel? I'm doing this like as if we still have dials in the car, but the buttons or whatever you use. But if you've tried tuning a radio and it's got stuck between two channels, I don't experience that before. And you can hear one radio station talking about something really serious and the other one, you have like some old Britney Spears song going on or something and it's demonic and terrible. And it's like these two contrasts and it's so hard to make out what they're saying. You know what I'm talking about? I wonder if we would hear the Holy Spirit more in our everyday lives if we stopped tuning into so many channels. I see people in the line at Coles and they're in the line and they're just on their phones and they're so not observant of anyone around them. I see people driving past blasting their music. I see people in the gym with their earphones in. And I mean, I do that most of the time as well, but I want to be aware of what the Holy Spirit's doing. And sometimes I just take out my earphones and I see people around me and I smile. I say, how you going? Good to see you. I want to be easily interrupted in case the Holy Spirit wants to move. I'm telling you, I used to do my shopping with earphones in and I'd listen to music, worship music. Come on, that's so holy. It's so Christian. Like, isn't that great? But the Holy Spirit convicted me one day. He said to my heart, Cain, there are so many people around you that I would want to speak to, but you are completely unaware of them. Do you know how many people I want to touch in this Woolworths today? Just giving a bit of variety, you know, some diversity in the sermon today. There's some strong Coles supporters here and strong Woolies supporters. But there were so many people around me and I wasn't even aware of them. I took my earphones out one day. I like literally in the shopping center, took my earphones out, put them in my pocket. I started walking. And I said, well, Lord, I'm just open. If you want to speak to anyone today, if you want to do anything in this room today. And I saw a lady who was in a, what do you call them? yeah, like a mobility scooter going through Woolworths. And she had a whole bunch of oranges in her basket. And I said, Lord, if she passes through my aisle again, I'll pray for her. She passed through my aisle again. I said, Lord, one more time. If she passes, don't you laugh because you've done it. I know you've done this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Three times. Lord, I'm gonna jump to the frozen section. Surely she won't be there. Get all my frozen stuff done. And I'm like, okay, surely I haven't seen her for a while. Like she must have gone. And I go to the checkout and she's there at the checkout. I'm like, oh my gosh. And she drops her oranges on the floor. So I turned and ran away. No, I didn't. I came down and I helped her, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is probably the best opportunity I could have. And I'm helping her out. She goes, oh, thank you so much. I said, hey, I just want to let you know, I was watching you today come past my aisle, and I just felt how much God loves you. I just want to let you know, He loves you so much. Would you mind if I pray a quick blessing over you today? And she's like, sure, as long as you help me get my things on the on the conveyor belt. So I prayed with her and blessed her. And but I'm just trying to say, I think we need to become more interruptible. I think sometimes we need to pull our earphones out. I think sometimes we need to stick our phone in our pocket and lift our head up and put a smile on our face when we're walking through the city. That when you're drinking your coffee and you're at the cafe by yourself waiting for your friend, you're not just scrolling, but you're aware of the waiters that are serving you. You're aware of the people around you. That when you see a homeless person on the side of the street, you don't just look at your phone or pretend to take a call and walk past them. I feel convicted about this, guys. But we'd actually look people in the eyes and we'd tell them, hey, good to see you today. See if there's a conversation. Silver and gold I do not have, but I can give you this. In the name of Jesus, I release blessing over your life. I pray you would walk with the presence of God, that you'd know He loves you, He died for you, and He rose again for you. We need to be easily interrupted. And the third thing I see is that they had something ready to give away. Number one, they were on their way. Number two, they were easily interrupted. And number three is that they had something ready to give away. Do you know what you have? Do you know what you have to give away? Are you ready when someone asks you for the reason for the hope that is within you? When someone asks you for the reason why you haven't given up yet? When they ask you for the reason why you're so kind and forgiving and to people in your workplace that have offended you? When people ask you these questions, are you ready? Do you know what you have within you? And can I tell you, friends, I'm not talking about a personality type. I'm not talking about a specific script of what to say. I'm talking about, do you know who is in you? Do you know what you have to give away? These disciples knew that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, they were filled with power from the Holy Spirit. As the scripture says, in Acts chapter 2, they were in the upper room, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That the Jesus that walked alongside them is now ascended into heaven and His Spirit is now in us. Do you know what you have? If you have Jesus, you have something more precious than silver and gold to give away. Do you know what you have? If you have Jesus, you have something so valuable that this city needs. He is the hope to the hopeless. He is the peace to the anxious. His voice alone calms storms. Imagine what His voice and His word could do in the heart of someone who doesn't believe. He is the God who walked on water, but He's now walking through your life. That you have something to give away. The power of the Holy Ghost within you is not meant for you, it's for others. Acts 1:8 says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be a witness, to be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Richmond and Melbourne and Victoria and Australia and to the ends of the earth. His Spirit is within you. I think the devil tries to convince people too much that you don't have anything to give away, that maybe you're too stuck in sin. Maybe you've got too much fear. Or maybe your testimony isn't that powerful. It's not as powerful as that person who shared one time at church, and I don't know if it's really going to affect this person. Can I tell you, if you've got Jesus, you've got something to give away. If you've been broken, if you've been hurting, if you've been stuck and in pain, and Jesus stepped into your situation and restored you, he healed you, he transformed you, he gave you a new mind and a new heart, and he set your feet upon a rock and gave you a purpose and a destiny, you've got a testimony. You've got something to give away. You've got something to give away. Turn to the person beside you and say, you've got something to give away. You've got something to give away. What do people see? What do people see when they look at us? What do people see when they look at us? Our prayer for Pneuma Church is that when people look at you, they would see the goodness of God. That when people look at you, they would see his miracle-working power. Then when people look at you, they see the heart of the Heavenly Father who loves them. What do people see when they look at us? There are people in your world, in your world today that don't know Jesus. And you know, there was a time in my life where I was spending so much time in the church, pastoring and connect groups and my friendship groups and the people I'd go to gym with, and everything was just surrounded by the people in the church. That someone asked me this question, like, who's in your world that doesn't know Jesus? And I stopped for a moment and thought, man, everyone I'm hanging out with is very Christian. But they challenged me. They said, I want you to write down the faces and the people that you see frequently weekly and see who it is in your world that needs Jesus still. And I started to write them down. Can I tell you, I was shocked when my list got over 20 people. The barista that I see every week, making me a coffee. The person I walk past in the park, the person at the train station who catches the same train, the person I see at the gym at the counter every day. I don't know their name, but I know that they don't know Jesus. And when you start to make a list of the people in your world that don't know Jesus, it's quite surprising how God has strategically positioned you in your community to be a light, to be a witness. It's no mistake that you know who you know. It's no mistake that you frequent this area. It's no mistake that God has placed you in a church in Richmond, that when you leave this service today and you go out for lunch in a nearby area, it's no mistake that he's positioned you in Richmond. And he won't call you to reach something without filling you with the power to do it. He is with you and he is for you. One of the ways I'd love to end this message today is by taking a moment to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us people in our world that need Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to open your phone or even your journal or your notes, whatever note-taking device you use. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit these two questions. And I'm going to give about 10 seconds between each. The first question is this. You can write it down. Who is one person in my world this week that you are wanting to reach through me? Holy Spirit, who is one person in my world this week that you are wanting to reach through me? Write it down. You might like to close your eyes and let God put one person's face or name on your heart. Who is one person in my world you're wanting to reach through me this week? For some of you, it's going to be the first person you think of. It's really simple. And I want you to write that name down. And the second question I want you to ask is this. What is something I can do this week, Holy Spirit, to reach out and show them your love? What is one thing I can do this week to reach out to someone, this person, and show them the love of Jesus? Holy Spirit's going to give you a name and a face. And he's going to show you one thing you can do to show them the love of Jesus. Maybe for some of us, maybe God's put someone in our heart that we've been reaching out to for a while. And maybe there's a next step there for them. Maybe it's inviting them to church or inviting them to come along for dinner at your life group. Maybe it's reaching out and checking in with them, seeing how they're going, inviting them for coffee. Maybe it's time to share your testimony with this person that God's given you. Maybe it's time you explain to them and or ask them, do you know who Jesus really is? And share with them the good news of the gospel, the truth about who Jesus is. Who's one person you're going to reach out to this week, and what's one way you can show them the love of Jesus? And now I want to put this challenge to you. I want you to write down a day and a time that you're going to do it. This is a commandment that Jesus gave us. You know, we love his blessings, but do we also follow his commandments? To go and make disciples of all nations. All right, some of you are still doing that, that's fine. I believe this week, look at me for a second. I believe this week that the Holy Spirit is going to go before you. Why don't you just hold your hands out right now and let's just pray for that person that God's put on your heart. Lord, I pray for each person that has been revealed to each person in this place. I pray, Lord, that you would go before us and soften their heart. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit afresh. And Lord, when we don't know what to say, I pray you'd speak through us and for us. I thank you, Lord, we don't need a script and we don't need all the right things to say, but God, I thank you that you want to show them your love this week, and I thank you that you would use us to bring a son and daughter home into your presence. Lord, whether we just simply sow a seed, whether we water the seed, or whether, Lord, we get to bring someone into the kingdom of God, I pray this week, Lord, that you would go before us, soften their heart, reveal your love for them, that their life would be transformed. Lord, we are unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And I pray that this person that you have put on our heart would experience the beautiful saving grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your holy name, we pray together. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Beautiful. We're going to send out a message to you this week, probably around the middle of the week, as a reminder to follow on with the person that the Holy Spirit has placed on your heart. And also on the screens behind me after the message today, we want to put up a few different opportunities that you can have to step out and reach people in this city. If you've been feeling a burden and a heart to reach people in this city, there's a few different ways as a church we are going out and reaching people. And those will come on the screens in just a moment. But I also want to let you know that because we are in this series and because we are kicking off this year with a message on reaching people and making disciples, we have scheduled two outreaches in the city this coming Friday and the next coming Friday. And so this is an opportunity for you. If you want to come out with other believers, with fellow believers, and learn how to share Jesus and learn how to love people in your city, maybe someone needs to dust off the cobwebs. Maybe it's been a little while since you've shared your faith. Well, come along on a Friday night at 7 p.m. You can register through the QR code, which will hopefully soon be on the screens. And even in the foyer, I think we have the QR codes on the TV screens out there as well. But an opportunity for you to step out into the city, to get alongside believers, to love on the people that God has placed in your circle of influence. There's two outreaches there, but there's also many other opportunities. We have street teams, that's what I'm talking about there. We also have Alpha that is starting up and an opportunity for people who are asking questions about their faith. You can join an Alpha, you can bring someone along to an Alpha, or you could serve as a team member in Alpha. It's an amazing opportunity there. Oh, sorry, can we go back to the other one? And then we also have Youth Open House. Youth Open House kicks off and is gathering young people after school on a Friday afternoon. Instead of them just racing home or catching the bus or doing whatever they do, they come into our building, in our car park, and our youth team are there to love on them, to hang out with them, to share with them. And we are looking for more people to come and jump in that space and love on some of the young people that are in our Richmond area, sharing the love of Jesus with them. Awesome. Well, those are all the key things that I wanted to share with you, the opportunities for you to get involved. And today I want to encourage you, as you go on your way, go and be a light. As you go on your way, go and be interruptible. Be prepared for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And with the name and the person you wrote down in your notes, start to pray for them and get ready for what the Holy Spirit is going to do on the other side of your step of obedience. Amen?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.